Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Tuesday. Good morning and welcome onto the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by Happy State Bank, alongside Jeff McGuire in for Hacks, who is road tripping out in Albuquerque today. You'll hear him a little bit later with Red Raider Baseball. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White is back behind the glass taking care of us. You two can hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, whatever you got, welcome to bring it in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. Plenty to get into on this Tuesday as we'll look ahead to Red Raider Baseball and the Lobos. We've got opening day just 2 days away from the Texas Rangers. And I, as a Rangers fan, am as excited as I've been in quite some time to open a season. I mean, every year.
It's not like they spent $400 million the last two seasons.
Well, it's been more than that. They spent $500 on the middle infielders alone.
I was.
Spent like a couple hundred on DeGrom alone. So, I'm. You know what? That's what they've been lacking for a decade is spending money that they've had.
I'm not telling you that you're wrong for jumping back onto the bandwagon. What no, I'm saying is, gee, it only took them spending all the money in the world for you to get interested again.
Every year.
It's like you're a closet Yankees fan or something, Choice.
Every year I've, opening days like Christmas, I'm always excited about it. There's always the, all right, we're all 0-0. You never know what could happen. But then 2 or 3 weeks into the season,
most
of the time the Rangers are going to down me. I'll let the leash be longer, even if you get off to a slow start this year, because you have some serious talent. Plus the Josh Jung factor in there, it's double interest. And
oh, is he playing for the Rangers?
He is. Did you know that? I'm quite excited about what Rangers baseball could look like this season and prospects of getting to the postseason. I think that's my expectation. You've spent enough money. You've got enough talent on this team. Find your way into the postseason. They're allowing more spots nowadays in the postseason. I don't think that's a expectation that's overblown, that this team not could but should find their way in. Now, I'm not going to go crazy and say, hey, let's go supplant the Astros and win the division.
Nah, that's still a steep hill.
But getting the postseason, not terribly steep. We'll talk some Rangers. We'll talk some Tech baseball, NITs tonight, which we normally wouldn't care about, but there's a guy there that we're kind of waiting on. So
you will wait.
We are continuing to wait, at least through tonight, maybe longer. But North Texas plays in the Fabulous Four. I don't think they go Fabulous, but
I think it's just Fab Four, which is what got Chuck so confused earlier this week.
With the Fab Beatles Five.
It was the Fab Five.
Michigan. Yeah.
Talking about Michigan. And then, but he said Fab Four because of the WNIT.
Gotcha.
And that was then the Beatles. And then he said, which Beatles shouldn't have been there? And I was like, no, there were four Beatles. And yeah, so it became a whole thing. Lucas, you look like you had something on the Rangers that you wanted to chime in on.
Yeah, so ESPN has ranked the 30 teams in order of how they think they'll perform. And they got Texas at 16th overall. And fourth in the AL West.
So 16th does not make the postseason, and fourth in the AL West probably won't make the postseason.
37% chance.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
they also probably had the Angels a lot higher. When the Angels actually achieve something in the AL West, I'll let them consider being higher than the Rangers.
They
in the
have
AL
not
West.
Done anything for 21 years.
Yeah.
They had the Mariners in the top 10.
That's believable.
Yes.
They're still good from last year. Like, the Rangers making the playoffs is not just
a... So they put
the
A's at the back again.
Yes.
So that means the A's are going to finish
probably
second.
Beat everybody. And
probably second.
Everybody walk away.
That's what always happens. When the A's are counted out, it's like, oh.
Well, that's right. Y'all do play baseball in a dumpster fire of a ballpark. We forgot.
So, also with the opening day stuff, We got new ballpark foods at the Rangers ballpark.
We'll
go through some of those.
I'm interested in one of them.
The likes, the dislikes. Oh, there's more than one.
There's
Okay.
There's one that I'm looking at and going, no. No. And then there's one I'm like, I don't think I would like that.
So like if we, I don't know if we're doing any sort of bus trip, but if we were to do a bus trip this year and you were going to the ballpark and you have.
Garlic fries.
Oh, okay. That's always the right answer. Those are always fantastic there. But the new one, would you give it a try? The one you're.
Oh, yeah.
Without giving it away right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And the one that I'm like, no on, it's more of like an individual basis. I personally would not get that. Like, if you, me, Lucas, and maybe another person got that, it'd be a different story.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm picking up what
yes.
you're putting down now.
If you've seen what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking. You know, and if you don't, you'll find out
well,
when we
I
get
tried,
to it later.
I tried a version of it one time by myself.
And that was huge.
That was pretty ridiculous. I really think it was about 3 pounds of meat, a 2-pound patty, and a pound of bacon on it. And mm-hmm.
It was delicious, but it was huge.
Oh, it was heavy for, you know, a week or so after. That just sat like a rock in the stomach.
And the garlic fries are the first thing I've added to a trip to a baseball game. Because normally it's, I need a couple of dogs.
Right.
Get a couple of beers.
Oh, yeah.
And an ice cream helmet sundae. And yes, okay. It's got to be the ice cream helmet.
It's
got to
be
sundae.
In the helmet. It's not the
if
same.
It's not a helmet. And I always get the small helmet. Because I've had the two dogs and the beers beforehand, I don't need the big helmet. At some point in my life, I want to get the big helmet of ice cream. That would be all I would eat that day.
That's great.
You also don't want to get that at the old ballpark
where
either because it would be
hot.
A soup yeah. by the time you got
oh,
to
man.
The bottom of it.
And milk is a bad idea, too. Like, in the heat, oh, that would be...
Yeah. And the new one, where it's a constant
yeah,
72 degrees...
That wouldn't be that as bad. Yeah.
Lean back toward the... speaking of ice cream... Am I the only person on the face of the earth?
Probably not.
That likes just chocolate chip ice cream. Not chocolate chip cookie dough. Not mint chocolate chip. We're talking vanilla ice cream with little flecks of chocolate mixed with it. Went to the grocery store like for the last month. Every time I've gone in there, like, I want chocolate chip ice cream. Go through the ice cream aisle. Non-existent on any brand.
Hmm. I think there is a place in town you can get it. I know of one place.
Okay.
It's the Oklahoma Ice Cream Shop here.
I can go to like that one or I can go to the Texas stop sign and get like their mixed one where they can make me one.
No, they have it pre-made.
Like in a gallon?
Yeah.
Or a
half
gallon, I should say?
Or I think it's
whatever
like,
it is,
a,
yeah.
A quart.
I don't just want the pint. Because that's a serving size.
No, it's got what you...
It's just...
They have it there.
It is so frustrating that I can't find this ice cream.
I think they have it there.
It's not like overly exuberant of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And all the others are there.
Yeah, I think you can find it there.
It's frustrating. I wanted chocolate chip ice cream last night. I couldn't find any.
All right, plenty rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll get to your thoughts. Got a lot of baseball to talk. We'll talk some basketball as well. Maybe a little realignment. So there's a request for that on the chat line. It's been quiet as of late, but a lot of rumors still brewing.
It only takes a match to ignite the bomb.
All that still to come. We got headlines for you next. It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Tuesday. You're hanging with the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Jeff McGuire with you on this Tuesday. Got some headlines for you. We'll start it off with... Go ahead and head to Texas Tech Men's Golf as they had a good first day at the Valspar Collegiate in Florida, somehow hosted by Houston in Florida. But
that does seem a little weird.
I know. I harp on things that don't matter.
No, but this one seems
much
weird.
Much like Chuck. But Red Raiders opened the day in the lead at 18 under par, but North Carolina has surged very early on in this third and final round. They're up to 23 under. Texas Tech is at 20 under. The next closest is Florida State and Arizona State at 11 under. So Tech and North Carolina kind of battling out for the lead in this one. Tech's 2 under on the day. Still a lot of golf to be played. Also opening
Real quick. I know what you just said there is right. But for everybody like me that took a second, they're up to 23 under.
I know.
What you said there's right, and that's up the way to say that. But it's moving up. It's the hang on a minute.
How's that work?
Yes, that makes sense. I might have been the only one, but giving everybody a beat.
I got you.
In that, for that particular statement, I'm not, again, not criticizing what you said. What you said is correct. Just takes a second to process it.
Red Raiders currently with 3 individuals in the top 10. That's Ludvig Åberg at 10 under to lead the tournament by himself. Tyron Sanders at 7 under in 5th place, and Callum Scott at 6 under in 7th place. So really, those 3 guys need a little more help, and maybe they can climb a little further up. But Red Raiders will keep you updated on that one as it rolls along this morning. Texas Tech, the number 3 team in the country. That is a legitimate national title contender. I know we talk about it with track. We know we talk about it with some other Tech sports, mm-hmm. but this is a team that has a true shot at winning a national title down the road. Because
and this
of
could
some
be
of the star power you have.
This could he. There's enough talent that it could be a double where you've got team and individual.
Yeah, Åberg and Callum Scott both mm-hmm. are a couple that could win an individual national title. But Tech golf currently going right now. We got Tech baseball on the airwaves for you this afternoon. It'll be a matinee affair from Santa Ana Star Field in Albuquerque as Texas Tech plays against the New Mexico Lobos. Played them here 3 weeks ago, won that one 6-3. Tech trying to snap a 3-game skid after losing 3 in a row in Austin. First pitch at 3 o'clock. Coverage starts at 2:30. You'll be able to hear the game on Double T 97.3 with Hax and Jamie on the call. Later today on Double T 97.3, we got the NIT semifinal game. We'll have both NIT semifinal games for you coming up a little bit later today. Do you know which one is first?
North Texas is first.
That's the first one. Okay. So that one.
The one we care about
if you're,
is first.
Yeah. If you're interested in what's going on tonight in the NIT semifinals due to, you know, a potential coach coming here and Grant
due
McCaslin.
To interest. You could just be interested in North Texas. You're allowed.
Do we allow that?
You are allowed.
Okay.
We're going to make fun of you for it, but you are allowed.
The Mean Green and Wisconsin going at it at 6 o'clock. Our coverage begins at 5:45. Then follow that up with Utah Valley and UAB. That will be at 8:30 tonight. We'll have both of the games for you on Double T 97.3. North Texas, a 1.5-point favorite over Wisconsin tonight. They can get to win number 30 on the season with a W tonight. And later tonight on 100.7 The Score, we'll have Cooper Pirate Baseball as they square off with the Monterey Plainsmen at Pirate Field. You can catch that game at 7 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. I mentioned Tech baseball. Jeff, we've got the latest in the rankings this week. Perfect Game has dropped Tech to number 15 in the country.
Yeah.
We've got the Writers Association at 19, Baseball America at 20, USA Today Coaches Poll 21, and both D1 Baseball and Collegiate Baseball Newspaper at 22. So Tech,
surprised you're still ranked
in all of the polls.
Like I'm surprised. One, you're still ranked in the 15.
You're a baseball guy. You should know. You're not.
I know you don't overreact to a weekend.
To
but
one weekend on the road and
just
in conference play. There were actually a big reason you're still ranked as high as you are in most of these. There were so many sweeps in college baseball.
No, where the see, I didn't look at the rest of the weekend.
Everywhere. I mean, there were sweeps galore. And road teams losing in sweeps all over the place. So so there wasn't just a ton of movement in several directions in the polls.
See, I haven't – I'll be honest. After the third loss of the weekend, I kind of went, I don't even want to know what else happened. None of that could have made up for how bad the three-game sweep was.
It felt rough because, I mean, it was rough, but also who it was against.
And it's not even like I really am like split on the level of upsetness I am on it. Because you were in all three of those games for the majority of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And the blowout loss, that you, the quote-unquote blowout loss, was basically one bad pitch.
Yeah.
And then it got worse later in that game. But, I mean, you were in that game battling all the way through. And losing in two walk-offs Saturday, Sunday.
The blowout where you lost by four.
Yeah. I mean, the other two were one-run games. The quote-unquote blowout.
Compared.
It's... Yeah. You're right there on the road, but this is not like just a dominant Texas team either that we've seen in the past, not like recent past, but like it's been a few years since they've been near the top of the Big 12 every single week, that you've gone down there and beaten better teams than what you faced this weekend with worse teams, it feels like. That it's frustrating that you lost it. But also, listen, you're going to lose one-run games. You're going to get walked off on occasion. You just happen to have it all happen on the same weekend.
Yep, was a tough weekend for sure. But a chance to bounce back tonight at 3, should say this afternoon at 3 o'clock on Double T 97.3. Also some news out of Longhorn Land. They made it official yesterday as Rodney Terry was hired by the Longhorns to be the full-time coach. I don't know why they waited for so long for a contract announcement. Would have been a good PR move to do it way before now, but they get the contract done, and he signs a deal worth roughly $3 million per year, $15.3 million over 5 years for Rodney Terry. Darn it, I hate liking anything Longhorn. I'm sure he'll give me a reason to have dislike for him in the future.
He wears burnt orange. That's all it needs.
He hasn't done anything personally yet.
Of the current Texas coaches, he's at the bottom of the list for the ones that I hate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Him and Shark are down near the bottom.
Sark.
Yeah, I'd say Shark for a reason. Okay. He's still a Longhorn coach. There's still rules.
Sark. No, I don't like Sark. Sark's punk after seeing what he did to that poor bowl game kid where he bit his head off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that video? Like, yeah. For no reason.
Yeah, no
reason. He was trying to back him up or make sure that he didn't run out too quick.
And, yeah. And then
he goes from, a demon took him over to...
Yeah. I remember that now.
That one...
But here's the thing, like... When I think of what the other Texas coaches...
Oh, yeah. He's not Tom Herman. He's not...
Well, no. Like, even current. We'll go women's basketball one.
Oh. I don't know. David Pierce is not Pierce a likable is two. Guy.
Pierce is... And it's okay. 1 and 1A for those two.
Okay.
And then we've got the other two. The one just got hired, so he's at the bottom of the list because he hasn't done anything yet. And we were looking at him for our head coach, and he'd been eliminated earlier.
Like, if we're going the big four sports...
Yeah, he's four.
Yeah, he's four, for sure. I mean, Rodney Terry is... He's a likable guy, but there will be things... For sure, that I will discover.
Oh, sure.
Over time, like Shaka I can't Smart, wait. Pretty likable guy in general, but man, he could be annoying with all the clapping and all the.
But that's Bruce energy Weber on the back. Sideline. You got to have that. He's got to be intense and throwing his jacket places.
He wasn't Bruce Weber bad on the sideline, but he was he was annoying. All right, lots more on.
How do we know he cares if he doesn't do those things, Joyce?
Chat line. We'll get to some of that in a moment. We'll take a look at the calendar. Coming up next as well, it's the end of the bench. Rolling with you till noon today on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be with you on a Tuesday. You got the End of the Bench till noon on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Alongside Jeff McGuire in for Hacks. I'm Choice Woodman, Lucas White. Handling us today, keep hitting us up. The thoughts, the comments, the questions, all of it welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. Someone said, are y'all pulling for North Texas tonight or Wisconsin?
I think I'm pulling for North Texas tonight.
I'm pulling for... So this is my approach. If I'm like calling a weekend series in the playoffs or something, like if you're going to lose the series...
Lose it today.
Yeah. Don't stretch this thing out.
On a three-game series, and this is no disrespect to Friendship or Cooper.
Right, this is
who I have produced for on both occasions. And very happy when they have won.
Right.
But if you lose game one of a playoff series, I am rooting for the sweep.
I'm not rooting for the sweep if you're going to come back and win both. But I don't want you to get to a game three if you're going to lose a game three. No, that's kind of my approach. So tonight, I guess I'm rooting for North Texas. But don't go to the championship and lose and then kind of make it a waste of time the rest of the week. Win tonight and win on Friday or lose tonight.
My counter to the waste.
Which there's
waste.
No way of knowing that.
Yeah, the counter of it being a waste, even in a loss. This is giving Texas Tech fans ample opportunity to tune in and watch how their new head coach is going to be.
It is.
And find some things that they like
in
what he brings as a coach. And because I've seen our chat line, find the things that they don't like that he brings to the table. And it also gives...
I can tell you what those two things are going to be.
Again...
Like and don't like.
I'm just throwing that out there, that it gives you a chance to look. Because something that we didn't get an opportunity with Joey McGuire at all, we had to go back to his high school days to see kind of what he was like as a coach. And that video isn't just like readily available for you to go back and check out. Now, Joey McGuire came in and knocked the cover off the ball in everything he did in his first offseason here. That, you know, everybody was on board and we wanted to be on board because we want football to be good. And then they were good.
Sure.
Were there times in the season we were pulling our hair out? Yes.
Yeah, you went from many people thinking, how are you going to get to a bowl game? How are you going to get that sixth win?
To being one win shy of the Big 12 championship game.
Exactly. I mean, you're one game, you flip the result of the K-State game, and you're playing in the Big 12 championship game. So there were ups and downs to the season, but you finished on such a major high, which hadn't happened. So, yes, I get what you're saying, but also, you're not here to win a press conference. You're here to win games.
Right.
So if Grant McCaslin doesn't come in and fire people up like Joey McGuire did on day one, it doesn't
That's
mean
not what I need him to do.
Doesn't mean you've made a bad hire. Doesn't mean you've – it's like, oh, no.
Listen,
here we go.
And take away the very end of the Tubby Smith hire where it was obvious that he and his wife did not want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Tubby Smith had an opening press conference where you kind of sat through there and you're like, this is our head coach?
Opening or every press conference?
Well, there were times on all of them, sure, but that like, opening press conference was not kick him in the knee.
Yeah, and I love Tubby Smith.
But. Yeah, and I'm not, and I hate how it ended.
Sure.
But that was a successful hire for Tech.
So.
So it's not about the press conference. It's about what you do between the lines of your particular field or court, as the case may be. That's what we need to see. And you know what? Winning kills all ills. Go win basketball games. People here are going to love you. It's that fast. And we won't get an opportunity to do that until like November of next year.
Or this year. The chat line choice. I know you're a Ranger insider. How's Leiter and Rocker doing development-wise? My inside sources tell me they're doing great. No, I think Leiter is anticipated to come in next year at some point. Could start the season with the Rangers in 24 if things go well this year. I think it would be way ahead of schedule if he were to pitch at any point this year with a big league club. Rocker is one that's more of a wild card where he may not be in the big leagues until 25. But I think I would expect to see Leiter early next year, and if I'm projecting, probably expect to see Rocker late next year, depending how the team's doing. But excited for both guys. I think there's a lot of hope for both of those guys and what they could do for your club moving forward. I'm excited to talk about guys coming through the system for the Rangers that I mean, they went from.
It's been a while.
Rangers have been like 28-30 in the prospect rankings in the farm system rankings for the last 5 to 7 years, and now you've got a top 10-ish system. So it's been a long time. Finally, you're hitting on some guys you drafted, and finally, the trades are working out.
And that's the other thing. You had guys in your system that had come up and gotten close to the big leagues that you had traded off to get a piece trying to extend a window that didn't go anywhere.
But even guys you didn't trade off, guys that were highly ranked that didn't pan out. Your Jurickson and Profars and those type of guys.
It's hard for me to say Profar didn't pan out.
Or Odor's or...
And it's hard for me to say Odor didn't pan out when they were both on your major league roster for an extended... for 3 years at least for both of them.
But going from the number one prospect in baseball...
Sure, he wasn't Ken Griffey Jr., but his position also wasn't one that would lead you to that. And he was kind of landlocked when you had Elvis and Beltre playing on the left side of the infield for so long. So then you put him in a second, then you bring Odor up ahead of him. And don't get me wrong, I love the punch from Rugi, but unfortunately I think that was his last hit. So that was kind of the problem with him.
Goodness. You're exaggerating by a little.
By a little. By a little.
Jeff, I totally agree with you. Vic Schaefer, most hated to you, coach. Another one, Rodney Terry, had some arrogant things to say about Tech after the last game. But I agree, he is likable comparatively.
Yeah, and that's okay. The catch.
Yeah. Out of the big four coaches at Texas, he is easily...
He will
be bottom of the list right now.
Right now, he's the coach that when he leaves Texas eventually, a la Mac Brown. I can root for Mac Brown now.
Yeah.
And I can say,
I do root.
Good for Mac Brown.
Rick Barnes was the same way. I rooted.
I don't know that I hate it.
You know what?
Barnes.
I think if they're a semi-likable, I definitely root for them when they leave Texas. So Texas is like, dang it. Look what we
sure
go.
Yeah.
Like Rick Barnes. I hope he has success at Tennessee. He can't win tournament games, you know, just like when he was at Texas. But yeah, Mac Brown rooting for him, being like, it's the whole you don't know what you got till it's gone type of thing.
Well, and some guys fit in one place and don't fit in another.
Yeah.
Look at Billy Clyde. I mean, he had success at A&M and had his moment here. I don't know that the two were the same, obviously. Yeah. Obviously, the success wasn't there. But you can be successful at stop A and not be successful at stop B. You can also not be really successful at stop A and win a national championship at stop B. Those are allowed to happen.
All right, let's go ahead and look at today's calendar.
Okay.
Quick look. Jeff, today is National Black Forest Cake Day.
Yes. Very. It looked very tasty. I'm sure I've had one. I can't remember what it tastes like, but it looks very good.
It's Respect Your Cat Day. I like this because cats don't love you back.
No.
It doesn't say love your cat, just respect your cat. That's kind of how I feel like but they don't really respect you most of the time or your personal space. National Something on a Stick Day.
Okay.
Best thing on a stick. Fried cheese is way up
fried
there.
Fried cheese is up
like
there.
State Fair fried cheese.
Do we want to talk like a kebab is a stick? Or is that its own thing?
I think that's different because usually it's like it comes several things off the stick too. I mean, you don't eat it on the stick. Typically, you can.
I mean, if we got to go the number one, I think we got to go a corn dog.
Nah.
Because that's where it starts.
Yeah, but it's still, there's so many other.
I mean, there's a really, really good
options. Sausage on a stick's better than... Corn dog.
Ooh, I don't know.
Fried chicken on a stick's pretty good.
See, I'd rather just have a chicken wing.
Okay. It is Weed Appreciation Day.
I don't appreciate my weeds in my backyard. Those things get pulled and tortured as far as I'm concerned.
National Hot Tub Day.
Happy so you'll celebrate later.
I do not have one.
He's got two.
Lady Gaga has a birthday. She's 37.
Reba.
Reba is 68 today. And on this day, back in 31 years ago, Grant Hill to Christian Laettner.
Ah, okay.
It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score.
playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
On to our number three. It's the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, powered by Happy State Bank. Alongside Jeff McGuire, I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White, still behind the glass, handling us aptly today. You two can hit us up. The thoughts, the comments, the questions of all sorts and variety already in on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. We'll get back to some of that momentarily, including a football recruiting question. Don't answer a bunch of those, but we'll get to that coming up with Ask the Benchwarmers a little bit later.
Are we allowed to answer recruiting questions?
I think
questions?
We can.
Okay.
I think I can fake it good enough.
Okay, because I know that's like, you know, Tech Talk territory.
It is. I mean, we don't want to step on them.
No. That would be bad.
But now, like, baseball is big time Tech Talk territory, and they can't just claim every, they can't pee in every corner, you know. Can they?
I don't know. I'm afraid to answer.
You have to establish a pee corner. It's important. As we do every single day here. We'll keep taking those thoughts, the comments, what? The questions. Establish.
A pee corner?
Yeah.
Man, this is a new building. You can't do that every day.
No, in the elevator. You know, when you get stuck.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay, now I understand.
Got to do that immediately. Apparently, there are also all-you-can-eat seats behind home plate underneath. Has sushi, steaks, seafood. Some good food back there. Hmm. Those are the pricey club seats.
Oh, that, sure. Yeah, when you said behind home plate, I already knew we were talking out of my price range.
I wouldn't mind sitting in those if someone wants to hook me up with some tickets at some point. Be all right with that. We'll get back to some Red Raider baseball here in the third hour of today's show. Speaking of baseball, Forbes has put out their MLB money list.
Okay.
This year. Did you see who... I think you've already heard this, actually. I think it was on the morning.
Hey, I can play dumb with the best of them.
Okay. Play dumb right now.
I'm playing dumb.
Did you see who was number one?
It's Chris Beard.
Funny. But not so funny.
Okay, so if, like, on the guess of this...
You already heard it.
So. I already heard, but on the guess, when we talked about this earlier, my first thought was number one would be Aaron Judge.
That would have been a good guess. He was number three on the list. Aaron Judge makes $44.5 million. 40 of that's on the field. He is only $4.5 million of endorsements.
That's the shocking part of that.
And I say only... because number one on the list makes 35 million endorsements. Mm-hmm. That's Shohei Ohtani of the Angels. 30 million on the field, 35 million of endorsements, and a big chunk of that is Japanese endorsements.
Sure. So, yeah. And that makes perfect sense.
It makes sense because he's like a Michael Jordan in his country.
I was also surprised that Justin Verlander wasn't higher on that list.
Justin Verlander comes in at number four. New Mets pitcher. $43.3 million on the field. Only $1 million of endorsements.
That's where the side of this, I'm like, really?
Well, he didn't have to do a lot because his wife will pick up quite a few endorsements for him.
Okay, that might be true, okay?
Well, but how well did that work out for Tom Brady?
Six
banking
Super
off
Pro
of his wife.
Talking
about the endorsements part. Banking off his wife.
He made a significant chunk. I think he's going to have to figure out how to live on $40 million there.
Yeah. Max Scherzer is making $58 million on the field this year. $1 million in endorsements for him. He was second on the list. Fifth is the best kept secret in the world when it comes to athletes. Mike Trout.
Yeah.
$35.5 million. He only makes $4 million in endorsements.
He does whatever the athletic drink that he does. It's not Powerade. It's an energy slash drink.
Body armor.
There it goes. Yeah, the body armor. He does that one.
Nike
he does
body armor, and he is now partnering with Tiger Woods. This is just announced to bring a new golf course called Trout National.
Hmm. Okay.
To his hometown of Vineland, New Jersey. So that's going to happen. Anthony Rendon comes in at number six on this list. Only $200,000 worth of endorsements for him. Kind of strange. Garrett Cole will make $500,000 in endorsements.
Yeah, and then that's where the question for me on all these is, short of Shohei, everybody's got like pennies of what you'd think they would have.
There's some five, and Carlos
Correa. But it's pennies
for
what you'd think they would be.
Correa comes in at number eight on the list. Corey Seager, first Ranger on this list at number nine. $35 million on the field, $1 million off. Nolan Arenado is 10th on this list. So there's the top 10 earners in baseball this year. I hope Corey Seager lives up to that.
I'd be interested to see, to go back, to see what some of the other guys in the history of baseball have made.
Endorsement-wise?
Just endorsement-wise. And, even adjusted for inflation. McGuire and Sosa were doing their thing along with the steroids. Were they making in endorsements? Because it felt like they were sponsoring a bunch of different stuff.
I think McGuire and Sosa were part of Butterfinger BB's commercials. I think there were anything you could think of.
Yeah.
They were part of it.
I was curious what Bonds was doing before he left Pittsburgh.
Bonds did a lot in San Francisco too.
Adjusted for inflation, even compared to what today, I wonder how much that has changed over the course.
Because of the sport?
Some of it because of the sport, and some of it because of the people involved. Those guys wanted to be front and center stage.
True.
I would not say that Shohei Ohtani, that Mike Trout, or that Aaron Judge want to be up front and center stage.
Yeah.
As their default.
Yep.
And I don't remember the last baseball player that wanted to be that way.
Oh.
That was deserving of getting the
Bryce
front.
Harper. He's that for sure.
Okay, yeah, I guess Harper
is
kind of disappeared.
Yeah, it is interesting that he went to Philly and has not been, that he was in Washington, which is not a major, the Nationals are not a major sports brand. They're not. But that he's gone to Philly, that's a better sports brand. The Phillies are a better brand than the Nationals, and we don't hear from him as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as popular. I know he's super popular in Philly and probably more so on the East Coast, but in terms of just baseball
nationwide
popularity, it's not as big of a thing. And part of it is he's getting older and guys are passing him up like Shohei Ohtani and that sort of thing. But it is interesting, that list and seeing where the...
I'm surprised that Juan Soto's not on it.
It's another one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because that's one that's similar to the Bryce Harper that wants to be front and center. He's an intention guy. So.
And he also left Washington to go to San Diego.
Yep. All right. Some more thoughts from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Some on Grant McCasland and otherwise. It's the end of the bench. Till noon on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Time for Ask the Bench Warmers. Get the questions in right now. Yates Flooring Center chat line. Easy way to do it. You can tweet us at 107 The Score, which we have a Twitter poll up today. It's just kind of random. What pocket do you have your phone in? I was just curious what the average bear or American or listener of ours, what pocket do you keep the phone in? You can vote on that at 107 The Score or dial us up if you want to have your voice heard as you ask the question. Visual Edge IT Hotline 806-771-0973. Questions for any and all of us are welcome. Choice Woodman, Jeff McGuire, Lucas White with you for about 10 more minutes today. Let's start off with this one. Jeff, has there been any new talks about conference realignment? We discussed this briefly earlier, but no. I think this is the calm before the calm. Let's take one from Chuck Hines. It's the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
I think there will be news in coming weeks, probably, I'd guess, coming months more so. Next 6 weeks or so, I think we learn something more concrete. But it's been rather quiet while the NCAA tournament has gone on. And probably by design, because the NCAA tournament is the baby. You don't want to upset anybody. You wanna, don't want to mess anything up there.
Because you know what happens when you upset the NCAA?
You get sanctions. So,
but not on you. Unlike some school, it doesn't matter to let you know that they could.
No, that's only Blue Bloods.
Right, yeah. You're going to tell me, like, the schools in the Pac-12? I guess not these schools.
Yeah, there's
the
no one that we're talking about that matters.
No, so. No, they'd be actually
hit. They'll slap California or they'll slap Colorado with something and not have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Benchwarmers, if you could add a food of your own recipe, something you specialize in, to a big league ballpark, what would it be and what would you call it? That's from Bullfighter.
It's nothing original. Like, I'm working on a thing, and it's a slow process, because I don't make it enough to, like, actually, like, experiment with it. But, like, it's a meatball noodle thing, casserole type thing in the crock pot.
Meatball noodle thing.
You
need a better name than that.
Right, it's not done yet, so I don't have a name for it.
Okay.
But it's, like, normal meatballs cooked in tomato sauce in the crock pot. With egg noodles and some spices and some garlic and some things that like, but I haven't fixed it yet to where it's where I want it to be. So I haven't worried about the name of it yet. Right now, it's just my experiment number 37 or whatever the hell I'm on.
Okay.
It'd be heavy for a ballpark.
I don't know what I'd do for a ballpark. Probably create some sort of dessert. Deep fry something that hasn't been deep fried, though it's hard to find that now.
Yeah, but you're not making that. Like the way I'm understanding this question is something that we make already.
Yeah, I put my burgers or pulled pork up against most, but that's pretty lame for a ballpark. Hmm. You can do a lot to a burger, though, and like make it unique.
Oh, sure.
So probably something along those lines. Sorry for not answering the question better.
We just don't have a good answer. It's not that it's a bad question. We just don't have a good answer.
I saw where Texas Tech has the number 14 ranked recruiting class for 2024. What are the top positions we have committed to the 2024 class? You have your quarterback. That's the most important one right now because...
He recruits the others.
He recruits the others, yeah. Your quarterback out of Hutto is a pretty important one. I think you've got, and let's see, according to Rivals, you are 14. And he's the only four-star within the class. You got Holton Hendricks here out of Lubbock. You got Cason Long from Shallow Waters. You got Ivan Carrion from Odessa. So you got a lot of local flavor in this class. But Will Hammond, the quarterback, is going to be the most important one. I saw someone asking yesterday about Micah Hudson, too. He is the number six player overall in the country. Not six at his position, but
right,
overall,
six overall
in the country out of Temple. Texas Tech and Texas is pretty well what it seems like it's down to between Hudson. His dad played at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
But he would be the first five-star you've ever landed out of high school if you do. We've always seen... interesting ones come down to the wire. This is probably the best shot you've ever had at a five-star in Micah Hudson. He was here again last weekend. I think he's been here two out of the last three weekends on these unofficial visits. So, and I don't have a ton of recruiting knowledge when it comes to that, but I will say Texas Tech has a legit shot at getting him. But you're up against the evil empire too. So there's a lot to offer at the University of Texas. So we'll see. Would love to see Texas Tech land him because he is a game-changing type of receiver that you could end up with.
It could be fun with him here, yes.
This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You guys, this from Jerry, you guys see the umpire video from a spring training game? LOLOL.
Man.
We did. JT Realmuto,
that's the first time he's ever been ejected from a baseball game.
Yeah, you could tell the shock on his face. It was not intentional.
And you guys can verify this with Snead coming up here in a minute when he comes in. But normally, like, catchers and umpires are like friends of a feather, like, with regards to taking care of each other if something happens. Things happen to that they work together with.
There's a rapport there.
And so the first time I saw the video for this, I just saw the second pitch where the second ball where he goes to put his glove up and then moves the glove. And just watching that one, I was like, I don't know what happened there. Like, was it a miscommunication or was somebody showing
or
somebody?
Was he mad because the previous pitch was called a ball, then he thought it should have been a
Didn't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Saw the pitch before, and I actually saw one where somebody found the camera angle so you can see the pitcher doing his thing, too, at the same time. Dude, that ump way overreacted.
That's bad. That's bad.
Like, I don't know which one's worse, this one or the guy that threw out the college ump that threw out the other guy.
Oh, this is not near as bad as
it. But at least on the other one.
Oh, you're talking about the college ump that threw the guy. Oh, yeah.
I don't know which one's worse.
This is worse. I thought you were talking about the college ump that called the strike.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
3 feet out of the zone. No, I'm talking about because
at least that's at least, you know, the one guy did something. That he should have been tossed before the final pitch was done. But this one was like, whoa, what are you doing?
No, this one's bad. This one's pretty bad. And this is a guy's ego getting in the way. Like, know the whole situation before you throw a tantrum.
Is an ump who had...
But, again, I get the miscommunication. But, seriously, he threw it back to the pitcher before that.
Right, and... This is just a drop like this. He had his glove up there, and it was 1-2. Okay, I'm not getting the ball, and put his glove. It's not like he had put his glove up and put it right back down. Like he was the timing of it was ball. Okay, no ball. Cool, no big deal. That's how he looked. That's how it like, and he was looking straight ahead. It's not like he was like, gonna give me the ball. Gonna give me the ball.
Yeah.
No, it was okay. Okay, cool, no ball.
Yeah.
Which is probably something he has done with an umpire
several times. Benchwarmers, best candy bar spinoff.
Do we want to count Reese's Sticks as candy bar spinoff?
That's how I was thinking of it. Like, or Reese's Pieces, Reese's Fast Break. Reese's probably has the most of them. But, like, there's, like, white chocolate Kit Kats.
Do we want to go almond M&Ms?
Number one.
Peanut M&Ms?
Number one's one that's been discontinued. And they got to bring it back. Butterfinger BBs.
I'm not that big of a Butterfinger.
Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson, the Butterfinger
not
BBs.
I'm a big fan of Butterfinger.
That's never the best candy bar spinoff.
Reese's
Pieces is up there, though.
Peanut Butter Snickers is good. Any of the Twix that they do are good.
Are peanut M&Ms technically a spinoff?
I mean, that would be the number one in
this. Because they're not the... I feel
although,
like they're too mainstream to call it a spinoff.
I have said and will testify to this. Reese's Sticks are change your religion good. If you haven't had them, change your religion good. I have never handed somebody one and they're like, oh, this is terrible. No, they're all like,
they're
oh my God, this
they're
is
good.
So good.
I agree.
So that would be number 1A if we went peanut M&Ms.
Quick one to sneak in. Thoughts on missing out on some good kids in the transfer portal because we don't have a coach yet?
I think he'll be fine.
Might not. I don't think you're missing on anything major. I don't think someone's going to commit to a school that would have gone to you.
I think we're more worried about Clint Scott ruining some recruiting for us than we are missing out on a transfer guy.
Always. Got to get that guy off Twitter.
Yep.
That's it for us. Jeff, thanks for filling.
Yeah, anytime.
We'll have Jeff McGuire. We'll have Jeff Haxton on the baseball broadcast later for McGuire. And Lucas, I'm Choice. It's been the End of the Bench.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.